Beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, dear friends, ladies and gentlemen, I greet you in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'm Brother Frank, speaking to you from the International Mission Center in Krefeld, Germany, with the intention to reach all nations and all people all over the earth, because the time has come when we need divine orientation from the Holy Scriptures. As you might know, I'm in the ministry for over 50 years. And the Word of God has become more precious to me all the time. Again, with sadness of heart, I have to say that even when the true Word of God is being preached, many remain in their traditions. They were born for generations, great-great-grandfather, grandmother, papa and mama, all were born into a certain religion or church, and usually they remain in it until death takes them over to the other side. And then we have the promise of the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We have the promise that all things should be restored before He returns. We also have the promise that the dear God of heaven would send a prophet like Elijah to restore all things. That's the way we find it written in Malachi, the last chapter, the last verses. The Lord Himself speaking, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. Then when you go to the New Testament, you find the confirmation of what God promised in the Old Testament. Here we have it in Matthew 17, where the Lord very precisely and convincingly says, truly, Elijah shall first come and restore all things. Then in Mark chapter 9, verse 12, we do have the same confirmation. Our thoughts go back to the first coming of our dear Lord when He sent John the Baptist, who was a man sent from God with a message of God, with a promised word for that day, to prepare the way of the Lord, to make straight a way for our God. And as you might know, we have a promise, and that promise was fulfilled. We look to God's choice in our time, William Branham. Maybe you heard his name, and usually a man sent from God is only received by a few, the majority bypasses the message that God sends in their time. They remain with a certain doctrines, and if you look into Christianity, some stick to what they call the apostolic confession, the apostolic creed, and They don't even search to know that the Apostolic Creed was actually formulated in precisely seven councils within the years in the third and fourth century. So we have to check things with the Word of God. We must go back to the Scripture. You cannot take for granted that what you believe is right. Only if the Scripture confirms it, at least in 2-3 different places, then it's not you who is right. It's God and His Word who is right. Then, within the ranks of the believers in the different four gospel churches and denominations, you have on one side the Trinity assemblies, and you have the Oneness assemblies. But to be honest, beloved brothers and sisters, there is no Trinity teaching in the Holy Scriptures, and there is not a Jesus-only teaching in the Word of God. I don't get it. Why such misunderstandings can come about? If you start with Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, you read and find the word Elohim 32 times. And then you continue with Genesis chapter 2, and then you find the word Elohim Yahweh. The invisible God, who is spirit, manifested himself in a visible form of appearance, in an image in which he created Adam. And Jesus Christ is the very image of God. It's not the second person, it's the same person. But here is the truth. Our dear Lord had to come into humanity. And you have to read Philippians chapter 2 and other parallel scriptures to know that the Son of God was born. The Son of God was begotten. God was never born, and God was never begotten. But the Scripture had to be fulfilled. Psalms 2, verse 7. Thou art my Son, today have I begotten thee. The Scripture had to be fulfilled. Isaiah 7, 14. A virgin will conceive and bear a son. So we understand by the Word of God that the Son was not born in heaven by the Father, but that the Father overshadowed Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit, because the promise is like this: the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, and that which is born of you is of the Holy Ghost. Beloved brothers and sisters, we go back to the original sin which happened in the body of flesh and blood. And therefore, the Lord had to come into a body of flesh and blood, but to be begotten by the Holy Spirit, to take us out of the fall, because we were all lost and condemned forever. But this condemnation our Lord and Savior took upon himself to redeem us, to reconcile us with God, to give us back our inheritance, to give us back eternal life, and to place us as sons and daughters of God. Beloved, please, don't just take the Scriptures one-sided. Let every word be as it is and where it is. For instance, now we are waiting for the Lord to return. But first, He will not return as Son of Man. First, He will return as Bridegroom. That is the reason why, if we read Matthew 25, we find the terminology about Bridegroom. Matthew 25, who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. So we have to understand, a bride meets the bridegroom. When that time comes, our Lord shall return as bridegroom. And the bride who made herself ready according to Revelation chapter 19, verse 7, will meet the bridegroom in the air, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, from verse 13. In Revelation 19:7, we read, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His bride," some translations say, "and His wife." But right until the marriage takes place, the true church, elected church, is the bride, like in the natural. And after the marriage, she is the wife. And His wife has made herself ready. Going back to Matthew chapter 25, verse 10. "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut." Then, if you read in the same Gospel of Matthew 25, verse 31, which speaks about a totally different coming, not as bridegroom, nothing is mentioned from verse 31 in reference to marriage. We read Matthew 25:31, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all the nations, and He shall separate them one from the other, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats." Why do I mention this, beloved brothers and sisters? There is so much confusion within the ranks of those who believe in the ministry and message of William Branham. I had the great privilege to know this man of God for precisely 10 years, from 1955 to 1965. I do have all the sermons, 1,159. And because I translated these sermons into the German language, I should know them in and out. And therefore, my heart is burdened because various brothers do take different statements the prophet made, and they take them out of context, making their own teaching, their own doctrines. And therefore, I just have to stay with the Word of God. And let me tell you, Beloved brothers and sisters, when God sends a prophet, not for the purpose to take us away from the Word, but to take us back to the original Word, to take the hearts of the children of God back to what the apostolic fathers believed right at the very beginning. The full restoration must take place, not head knowledge about this or that, but believing with all your heart the message of the hour, which is the promised word for this day. The message of the hour includes all of God's promises for this day. And beloved, as you might realize, in the Holy Scriptures, we have promises, but we also have predictions. If you wish to know the predictions, you must go to Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 17. There you find the predictions about wars and rumors of wars, about false prophets, about false Christs, about all these things which will come to pass before the Lord returns. But if you wish to know about the promises, then you must look into the Word and see Israel, and you must look into the Word and see the church. When it comes to Israel, you don't have predictions, you have promises. God promised to send the two prophets to Jerusalem according to Revelation chapter 11. And therefore, the Jews must return to the promised land. They must be there where God is going to fulfill His promised word. It's in the same way with the New Testament church. We must be in the promised word for the day. If not, God cannot fulfill His promises. So if you go back to Abraham and to the counsel of God in general, first, God makes promises. Then He watches over His word to fulfill what He promised. Abraham believed the promise of God. He staggered not because of unbelief. He looked upon Him whom he could not see, but knew in his heart that whatever God promised, He will keep. His faith was anchored into the promised word of God. Now, in reference to the end time, we do have the promise of the return of our Lord. John 14, verse 1 to 3, we have the promise from the lips of our Lord. I will go to prepare the place, then I will return and take you to be where I am. This is a promise. And if you go to 2 Peter chapter 3, in the last days, at the end of time, the scoffers will ask, where is the promise of His return? Only to go to verse 8 in 2 Peter chapter 3, the apostle says, the Lord is not slack with His promise, but His patience with us until the number is complete. So in general, there is a main promise of the return of the Lord. But in connection with this final promise, we do have various promises for the New Testament church. First, that God would send the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord would be. He would send the prophets before sun would turn into darkness and the moon into blood to take us back to the Word of God. And beloved, I'm not judging, but if we look into so-called Christianity and also to the other religions, especially in recent months, since April 2005, the whole world looks to Rome. My beloved friends, if you go to Daniel chapter 2, to Daniel chapter 7, to Revelation chapter 13 and 17 and 18, you find the description. Everyone looks to Rome because the time has come for the uniting of all nations under one head, all religions, and the Roman Empire is the last world empire according to Bible prophecy. And therefore, Rome is again in view in every religion, and especially all the Christian churches come back to the Mother Church. So the wound is being healed, and we look into the years. If we go back to the Reformation, Germany and the European continent was divided into two. On one side, Catholic, on the other side, Protestants. If you look what happened after World War II, Germany was divided, Berlin was divided, Europe was divided into East and West. But look back to 1989 and into the years that followed. Now, Germany is united, Europe is united, the world is being united. Beloved friends, these are predictions in the word of prophecy. And God gave us the understanding about the apostolic prophetic ministry, which is needed in our day and time to share with us all of God's word, whether promises or predictions. We do live in the time of fulfillment with the Jews, with the church, with the nations, with Rome, with Jerusalem. Everywhere we see Bible prophecies and Bible predictions being fulfilled. Let me say this with honesty of heart. We are living very, very closely to the return of our Lord, Savior, and Bridegroom. Therefore, this is the time of the calling out of those who belong to the Bride of Christ. This is a time of preparation. This is a time when we have to line up with the Word of God. We have to believe according to the Scripture. Go back to apostolic times and days to believe as the apostles did, to baptize as they did, to set the divine order in force again. We must come out and we must go in. May the dear God of heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the only true God, the God of Israel, who became our Father through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the only begotten Son of God, to place us into our relationship and position as sons of God through Christ our Lord. Receive the end time message. Receive all the promises of God and believe them. First, you carry the promises, and then the promises carry you into the fulfillment. Be blessed. Be blessed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, wherever you might be. And it would be good that we should hear from you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.